All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessed to be here with you again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your guidance, Father. We just ask you to help us be faithful to you, to have ears to hear, and hearts, Father, to apply to you. Lord, again, we just thank you. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. Verse 14. These churches, it's letters to the churches. There's letters that were sent to the angels of the church, to the bishops. And it kind of portrays, you know, all these, it shows all the seven churches down through history. It shows, you know, there were churches at that time, I think, but usually prophecies in the Bible have a multi-layer. There's all seven churches, and then you can look at them today and they represent ages as well. It's just usually more, God's depth is pretty neat to look at, you know, a lot of times whenever we read the Bible and we see, you know, a lot of times a prophet in the Bible was addressing something right then, and then as history passes, it reveals itself that it was much deeper than just right then, and then the overall picture, and it all just fits together. It's just kind of neat how it all works. But this verse 14 is to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write. The church in Laodicea. There's a church there, and it, as we look at this, we can see the modern church. The last church here, the church we're living in, as we go down and look through this. It says, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. That's just a title, the Amen. You know, we say Amen when all things are finished. Jesus is the Yea and the Amen. The faithful and true witness. This is a picture of Jesus. He is the end of all things, and he was the faithful and true witness whenever he was on the earth. The beginning of the creation of God says this. He's trying to tell us something. He said, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Here, Jesus is telling us a frightful message to some. I remember hearing this. This is one of the messages whenever I was a young man in church. And I was sitting towards the back of the church, and I had tried all my life to be saved up to this point. You know, every time after I learned about it, about being saved, to go to the front and ask Jesus to forgive me so I'd be forgiven, and I never could find peace. You know, I would sin, do something wrong, and I would confess it to the Lord, every time I'd go, you know, I would just confess what I'd done wrong. But I knew most of the time that before I ever got up off my knees, I was going to go back and do the same old thing again. I felt bad for what I'd done, but I knew that I was just going to go right back into it again. And I really didn't know what the answer was. I was just told, because Jesus died, it's all fixed, so don't worry about it, basically. You know, we get that attitude. That's where I think the attitude we'll get to a little bit later comes from, that where we have it all fixed. And you know, the thing about it is that attitude can settle in right here, because we're just doing all the right things. You know, we have the attitude, well, we were trained right, we were brought up right, we know how to do all the good things and all the right things. So we just get that confidence that, well, it'll be all right. And that's one thing, praise the Lord, that God would never let me have whenever I was a young man, is that confidence. And that's what I was wanting. That's what everybody was wanting. When you went front, you were looking for an experience to give you the confidence that everything was fine, don't worry about it. But praise the Lord, God wouldn't let me settle there and have that. He said, I know that your deeds are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. I remember sitting in the back row and listening to the preacher preach about this, and for some reason this message got a hold of me whenever I was a young man. I'd tried everything to follow the Lord. I'd tried to be zealous as I could, but there was something missing. And the preacher just said, I would that you were either cold or hot. And I knew that that message was to me. I was neither cold nor hot. I hadn't been that bad, you know. And I had tried to be zealous even for the Lord, but it was something much more than that. It was a heart that wanted to do God's will. And I knew that I didn't have it. And I remember going out of the church deciding that I'm not going to play a game here. I tried everything I could, but there's nothing here. And I walked out of the church, probably somewhat blaming some of the people there, but not really, because I knew it was my problem. You know, we can always find somebody that we can blame if we wanted to, but down deep, it's our problem. No one else's. Doesn't matter your parents, doesn't matter your preacher, doesn't matter if I've met men that are so bitter and so angry because the priest did them wrong, or their preacher did them wrong, or they were deceived, or something went wrong, and so they blame that person, and what they're doing is sealing their own doom because they're not taking the responsibility themselves. If we start blaming my dad or my mom or my preacher or somebody I looked up to didn't do what's right, and if I can blame them, you're wrong. Doesn't matter how bad they treated you. Because life's much more than just how someone treats us. It's about what we do with it. I knew that I was neither cold nor hot. And I walked out of that church. And I told you before, I remember driving away. And I felt free. I felt free. You know, we think about feeling free whenever the burden is lifted. We go to the altar and we confess our sins and we get things and we feel free. But you know, I went driving down the road leaving that church and I felt free. Because the problem was is that conflict was over one way or the other. We can have what we think is freedom by going the wrong way. And we can feel a rest and a peace and a freedom when we go away. Just like you can feel a rest and a peace and a freedom when you surrender to the Lord. You see, because when you surrender to a master, you have peace and rest and freedom, no matter which one it is. And when you just surrender to yourself, or you surrender to Satan and the world, or whatever you surrender to, the conflict isn't there anymore. You know, a lot of us think that because we have peace, we're good. But I've likened that peace to, you know, you see these chicken trucks going down the road with all these chickens caged in there. They're all packed in all these tiny little cages and a whole pile of birds in there. And every once in a while, you'll see a pile of feathers in a greasy spot in the road. You know, the freedom that I felt was just about like a chicken that had managed to get out of one of those cages. And the last thought it thought of was, I'm free. And then it hit the pavement at 60 miles an hour. But it was free. And it was free. That's the cold side of that freedom. And that's where it always ends. The span of time of that freedom, I'm free. I don't have to listen to my dad anymore. I don't have to listen to the church anymore. I don't have to listen to anything anymore. I am free. And the span of that freedom varies in humans a little more than it does in chickens. You know, it may seem like we're free for a long time, but the result is the same. There's an end to it. And it's an abrupt end to it. Some of it may be 50 years you've been free of all that constraints that you had. But when you die, you hit the pavement and you hit it hard. Like I said, I've thought many times about those chickens. The last thought in their mind was, I'm free. Bam. That's the way I felt. Because I had been free. And I went on out into the world and just lived how I wanted until I found the Bible. And I began just to read what it said. And Jesus began to show me that there's something that you lack. And there was that hot and cold. And what it was I had to make a decision. Instead of pretending. If I was going to follow Jesus, it was going to be all or nothing. And that's what hot or cold means. And it doesn't mean just going out and making a lot of noise, being an evangelist. It's all in your heart. Because you say, verse 17, and here's the hot or cold. It's the in-between that wants to rest. Because you say, I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. Right there is lukewarm. Someone that, and that's what I just praise the Lord for, that He never gave me that freedom that would result in a complacency, that would result in me thinking that everything's great. You know, we kind of laugh at some of the songs, I'm a millionaire. You know, they sing, and people sing about heaven, and they have that. They are just so convinced, and we can be so convinced that we're right with God. And no matter what happens here, I'm going to be rich in heaven. That's, I'm rich and have need of nothing. You know, and that's where this gospel, this modern gospel, plays in so well to tell you and convince you that there is nothing you can do All you have to do is believe Jesus died for you, and you are in. You are rich. You are safe. You are perfect in Jesus. And there's not one thing you can do about it. And multitudes of people are in that place where they've just got comfortable. And that's where this is that's the lukewarm. Is that place where I'm just good. And we can do the same thing. Well, I'm not like those other guys. I believe you can lose your salvation. I believe you can fall away from God. But I'm good because I was taught better. I'm good because I know better. Some of us can say, well, I'm not with those Mennonites anymore. I'm free. And we do it better than they do. So I'm good. You see, it's not it. Being on that path with Jesus as your Lord, not just because I can talk about it, because He is where it's at. It's a straight and narrow path. So then, because you're lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, and this is Jesus, and, you know, when He vomits us out of His mouth, you know, I don't know many people who collect up and savor the vomit. We're usually done with it and want to get as far away from it as we can. So it's not a good thing. Because you say, I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. See, it's opposite of what we think we are. All that confidence that we think we have is going to come back to us, and it's going to be exactly opposite of what we think we are. And He says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you might become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by the fire. You know, if any of us would have the opportunity just to be refined by the fire, we probably wouldn't want anything to do with that, would we? But yet that's what Jesus talks about or says whenever He talks about following Him. Allowing Him to do with us whatever He would like. You know, whenever they talk about gold refining by the fire, they put gold in a crucible or a bowl, and they melt it until it becomes a liquid. And they just keep pouring the heat on it. And it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. Until the impurities began to separate. And they rise to the top. And they take a ladle and they scoop off the scum, the impurities, the bad stuff, and throw it away. And then they boil it again. They take it, this bad stuff, they wipe off and throw it away. You see, it takes heat. It takes fire to refine gold. And it takes high heat and fire to refine our souls. God's got to get rid of that stuff. You know, and it doesn't matter how well you're trained or how well you may suppress some of this stuff. And that's why the people that say, oh, I'm rich, I'm good, I'm wealthy, I'm good. They don't realize that there's a bunch of this stuff all mixed in there that makes them rotten. And it only coming to Jesus with an open heart, an open hand, saying, here I am, Lord. You know, that's one of the problems we have, you know, with having everything, or you know, we get to complacent and we think we begin to measure ourselves by our successes. We can kind of overlook all those bad things because we can just kind of fix everything with our success and all of that kind of stuff. But if we haven't been tried, if we haven't allowed God to put us in the fire and refine us, we're just lukewarm. That's why it's, you know, what we want to see in our young people is not how successful you can be. The whole foundation of godliness will produce success. I mean, that's the problem with second generation churches and third generation churches. You have godliness and success comes automatically to the next generation. That all through history, that's the formula for success, is godliness. You learn how to work. You learn how to get up. You learn how to take care of things. You learn how to be responsible. You learn how to be responsible for some of your own actions. And so you just work. And you become successful. And that's because there's a foundation being laid for you. It's nothing you've done. There's a foundation been laid for you. And instead of building and buying gold off of that foundation, you go out and make a bunch of money. And you become successful and you think that all covers it. But you miss out on some things. A young man, you don't build any character because you're successful. You learn character when you fail. You learn character whenever you struggle. When I'm talking about character, I'm talking about stuff that makes your soul, that makes giants instead of squirts. And it takes going through the fire. It takes being refined. It takes God getting rid of that stuff so He can mold you into something that'll belong in heaven. Because anything that you build on other than that isn't going to be there. Gold tried in the fire. You know, sometimes some people, that fire has to get pretty hot to work on them. I know myself. I mean, sometimes it costs you. Sometimes it costs you over and over and over again. You know, I just think of my life. It cost my wife. so that I could learn a little character. Cost my family. So that God could build a little character. And my place burned, the place to burn, my house burned down and the church burned down. Back to nothing again. Get a little character. And my son is taken away. The only one that even showed any interest at all. To build a little character. You know, anytime we might think we might have a little notoriety for what we're trying to do here. You know, half the people go off and live right next door to us, doing just exactly what we're doing. We get overlooked and everybody flocks, goes there. But it's that kind of stuff that will build character. Straight and narrow way, the way that Jesus calls us to go. He'd never say it was easy. In fact, he told us it would be very difficult. But it's that difficulty that, you know, we look at it as something bad. But it's that difficulty that is what's refining us to the part that's going to make it through to heaven. And he's trying to get rid of all of that now. That's why the hot or the cold. Because the lukewarm, that stuff that may look good on the outside, may look fine on the inside, or, you know, it may look fine, and it's full of all that other stuff that won't get us there. That won't make it through. And that's just discarded. That's why, because you say I'm rich and I've become wealthy and I've need of nothing, and you do not know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We don't know it. What we really are. That's why we need to go present ourselves to the Lord and let Him be in charge of us. Let Him lead us down the path that He wants us to go through. Let Him be the Lord, good or bad, because He knows what we need, not ourselves. The danger is thinking that we've got it all figured out. That we're good. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich. And white garments that you may clothe yourselves. And that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. It is He's offering us the opportunity to see the things that really need to be seen and to be clothed in white garments, real garments, not just the ones that we think make us look holy or better, but in the real stuff. And he says, to whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. You know, a lot of times the whole world thinks that bad things happen to you. The first thing is, well, God's, you know, they blame it on God. He says, those I love, I reprove and I discipline. Those I love, I will refine those I love I will refine. Therefore be zealous and let him refine you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. It's like we talked about last week. We're as close as we want to be. He's knocking on the door. Years ago, I was asked to speak in a church and we used this passage and he's knocking on the door, and you know what? He was outside. You know, wouldn't it be, you know, can we think, could we believe that Christ is knocking on the door outside of the church? Not just in our hearts. That's what makes it the church. That's why he's inside it. It's because we're able to open that door and let him come in. I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes will I grant to sit down with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. You know, we look at the life of Jesus and he overcame. And he says, anybody else who overcomes, I'll take them right in. Then he says, he who has an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There again is that ear to hear. May God give us that ear and keep us that ear. And add his blessing to his words. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? God bless you all. We'll meet back at 6 o'clock this evening, Lord willing, and depart in peace. God.
You're singing.